When you ask someone to be, don't leave, Ruby, you got to do the gospel one later. Or you can come back. All right, very good. When you ask somebody to be a liturgist, you don't ask them to read this particular scripture. Acts 2 is unique and exciting. So Ruby's agreed to read the gospel, and I will read for you this morning's New Testament passage from Acts 2. This is the Pentecost event. Here, as we hear this important time. Now, when we get to the time of the wind, you all need to make a wind sound. Let me hear you. Come on. Better, better, better. All right. Listen for it. You ready? When the time of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came the sound of the rush of a violent wind. Sounded pretty violent. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire rested on each of them. I read that wrong. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Tongans, Palangi, Cretans, and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." Peter, standing with 11, raised his voice and answered them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this was what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord. Good job with the wind. You did okay there. We'll have to do some more practice sessions. Nalo, you should have some trainings, you know, some wind training for all of us as choir. So Dawn, you could set us up with some breathing exercises there.
Okay, if you'll stand while we read God's Word, we're going to read John 20, 19 through 23. It's in your pew Bible, 108 and 109. "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.' When he had said this, he breathed onto them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven of them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" The word of the Lord.
You may be seated. Or you may not be. That's, you know, kind of... It has been an interesting week. I hope you had a better Memorial Day than I did. I live across the street from the park. It's wonderful. I get to look over across the park, and there are ducks and geese and kids running and all of the things that happen with parks, and it's beautiful. And interestingly enough, I live right down the street from the hospital, and so the ambulance drivers who are waiting for a call, instead of sitting in the parking lot, they park right next to the park. So they park right across the street from my house there. And it's always interesting. I'll look out, and they'll be in there, shoes up on the dash, maybe the door's open, and one of them's laying out on the grass asleep. So I always felt comforted that if anything happened, I could just run out there and say, yo, less than 100 feet from my house, they could be there just like that. What's that for? That's really good emergency response. Isn't that wonderful? Monday, they were nowhere to be seen. Blood going everywhere. My good daughter, Melissa, Paula wasn't there, but Melissa saw it. And Melissa is great as long as she's not the one in the middle of things. But she wanted to see all the blood and poke on all of the wound and see everything. She helped us put everything together. And I drove to the ER, and the nurse says, it's a good thing I do crossword puzzles. I'll try and figure out where all these pieces go. And she started stitching here and there. And she says, well, I think this will, maybe this goes over here. She says, I don't know what this is. 18 stitches, about 3 hours worth of work. It was a fun time. Not. But it's an amazing sort of thing that I had all these plans. Do any of you make plans? I was going to dig in on one more sprinkler head and plant some plants and do some of that. That's just right out now. Any of you feel really sorry for me, come on over to the house. I'll help you. You can help me dig there. There I was, though, trying to figure out what to do about the blood, and the ambulance wasn't there. Ambulances should be right next to you, right ready for you, especially when I'm working with power tools. I should just give them a warning ahead of time. Maybe that's the case. But wouldn't it be great if that was the case? I have good news for all of you. I have great news for all of you. When it comes to spiritual emergencies, the ambulance is with us immediately. Praise God. Amen. Yes, indeed. Ambulances came into being around World War I. I don't know all of the history. I dug into it a little bit, but I heard a bit about the origin of the name, and it seems to mean that it's a hospital with the doctors in the hospital inside that can come to you. It's not a mobile army surgical hospital. That's MASH. That's a whole different story. How many of you know MASH? Yeah, that's become an icon. Okay, so. But here is an ambulance. It has everything. If you've ever been in a modern ambulance, it's amazing the stuff they've got in there. They've got toys and gadgets and gauges and machinery. It's pretty fun. I got to drive ambulance a little bit in one of my appointments. Paramedics can do just amazing things. It's an incredible thing to have an ambulance and to have that available to us. And just as a matter of social justice, you should be aware of communities that do not have a lot of access to that. There are rural and low populated areas that don't have doctors, don't have ambulances, don't have things. So kind of a thing to be aware of and pray about. But ambulances provide that emergency service for body. And we have now come to Pentecost Sunday. And this is the point in time when Jesus said, you know him because he abides in you. And he will be with you. Ambulance on board. Right there with. Now, there's a term that gets used there, and you saw the title of my sermon. It says paraclete. Two ways to spell it, P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-E or P-A-R-A-C-L-E-T-E. Both are correct, but it depends on how you transliterate the Greek and do all of those fun things. And what kind of mood you're in. But it's not a parakeet. That's a whole different thing. We got that straight? Good way to remember it. But That's what he's talking about. That's the term he uses when he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another parakletos, paraclete, to be with you forever. Now, do we have that first slide, Miss Sue? It's a little hard to see. It's an El Greco and it's a vertical, so getting it onto the slide is a little bit different. But at the very top, there's a dove up in a cloud up there. And then you see all the disciples down there, and at the tops of their heads, there's something on the tops of their heads. You see those? Those are tongues as of fire. That's what the Acts passage says. Tongues as of fire descended and resided on them and rested on each of them and gave them utterance. So what is this Holy Spirit thing? It's kind of an interesting thing. In this picture, where I guess it's a dove. And we hear about the Holy Spirit. You remember that? You remember when John was baptizing in the Jordan? And Jesus came along and he said, I should be baptized as well to fulfill all righteousness. And after he was baptized, the clouds opened and the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. And God said, this is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased. You remember that? So we hear the dove and we can kind of associate the dove and tie that together. Can we have the second slide, sir? There's the dove. There's the Holy Spirit. I kind of like the idea, but how many of you have been around doves? They seem kind of frail and delicate to me. I mean, they're beautiful and they're a sign of peace and all of that sorts of things, but you feed them and they coo a lot and shed feathers and they're kind of messy. And I just, if I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, a dove is not my ideal of anything to go in that particular. Of course, a flame isn't either. How many of you would like to walk around with flame on your head all the time? And yet that's the imagery we have to work off that. And paraclete, if we want to keep it confused and not call it a Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit or the Advocate or the Spirit of Truth or the Counselor, we could call it paraclete. That doesn't roll off the tongue at all. Try saying it once, paraclete. Doesn't really roll off the tongue. It's just not where we want to go. So what if we, how do we take this dove that looks awfully frail and vulnerable? How about the third slide? Here's somebody who had an idea. The dove in the middle of the fire. Tongues as of fire, and also the fire, the flames of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit and the dove. If you've read your Bible and you know all your theology, this is a pretty good symbol. But if you're a baby Christian or a kiddo, you look at that and you say, that poor dove, he's running from the boiler. So it kind of confuses you. What are we going to do? Well, this is an important question because, you see, when we pray, and this morning I was listening and all of you repeated, and you said, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, the Holy Trinity. What do we think about that third one, the paraclete? How do we envision that? And there's a problem there, you see. It was Holy Ghost, but you think about ghost. How many of you remember Casper the Friendly Ghost? And there was a movie out with Casper, and that was silly too. So that doesn't really tie it all together for me. Holy Ghost doesn't work at all. In fact, ghosts and spirits. How many saw Indiana Jones and they open the ark and out come these spirits and that gets pretty ugly pretty quick? Spirits kind of scare me a little bit. How about you? So where are we going to go with that? How are we going to pull that together? You can go ahead and put back the regular slides, Sue. I don't know that I can do anything with a dove in the middle of the flames. But what are we going to do with this? This is a symbol of the Trinity. And Jesus explains, he says, I'm going to leave you, but I will leave this advocate with you. So this is God with us. This is God's connection, our connection to God. So it's God with us. God with us. God with us. Think about that. Does that sound familiar somehow? That's the definition of the name Emmanuel. God with us. And so now we think back and we've gone to Emmanuel, we've gone to Advent, we've gone to baby Jesus in the cradle, we've gone back to all of that, and that's Jesus. That's only the second half of the Trinity. It's not the third step at all. So who is this paraclete, and how is it, and where is it, and it's important. the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. That was the illustration I was trying to get across to the kids. I think they were enamored with balloons. I don't know if I got the point across. But the balloon was kind of limp and useless without the Spirit inside. And that might be us too. That might be us when the Spirit's ready and willing, but we're not inflated. We're just flopping around on the ground. There's another image for you that we don't need to worry too much about and spend too much time. You know him because he abides in you. How is that? And how is that? And how come we don't access that all the time? Anybody got smartphones? You got a phone with a smartphone and you use it for directions getting places? Do you ever do that? I'm gradually learning how to do that. You got to kind of work with a smartphone because it tells you things and you got to listen. Am I turning right now or am I turning up there? And so you have to practice. And then after you've gotten right to that point where you're beginning to trust your smartphone and the directions it gives you, it sends you someplace that's the wrong place. I was trying to go and visit this church one day. I said, take me to this address. And it brought me down side street. It says, you have arrived at your destination. I'm in the middle of this residential section. There's a guy, the front yard, he's laying under his truck working on the transmission. And I thought, I don't think this is a church. But I tried to tell my smartphone that, and it didn't have any part of it. So smartphones are fallible. What's even worse, I decided I need to rush off to this address, and I said, here, quick, John. I put in the address. I said, tell me where to go. Didn't really pay attention to it. I got about halfway there, and my battery died. So now here I am somewhere between where I was and where I want to go, and I don't know what to do next. Am I the only one, or does that happen to a few of us? The Holy Spirit does not run out of battery. The Holy Spirit does not send us to the wrong place. Kind of astonishing, kind of frightening, kind of amazing. This is the Spirit within us. This is part of God connecting us and filling us and giving us directions. I mentioned London. I don't know. Sad to hear them being impacted again. But the world has things going on. It seems like it's a difficult time. And there are divisions, and there are divisions politically, and there are divisions internationally, and there are divisions over weapons and nuclear weapons, and there are divisions over Democrat and Republican and what have you. And there are divisions within our church. We need an ambulance. You see, we need somebody to try and figure it all out and stitch it all back together again. It's all been shredded. And we've been shredded, and we're all going in different directions, and we need suturing. Fortunately for us, the ambulance is built in. The Spirit is within us, abides within us, and gives us utterance. This passage that we read in Acts, this passage with the Spirit descending upon them, is a commissioning. That's what's happening. The disciples are there, and this is saying, okay, you have now graduated, and now you are filled and set to your tasks. And that's us. And we need to reappropriate that, and we need to be that. God has sent the ambulance, it is within us and gives us all we need to be the people that heal one another, to connect, to redraw ourselves together. Instead of being the untied United Methodist Church, we need to be the United Methodist Church. And the ambulance is within us. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Called and sent. And with all the tools built in. Amen.